On Sunday, we went up the mountain of the Transfiguration and spent a moment enjoying the glory of God. Together with Peter, we said, how good it is for us to be here. Today's readings bring us back down to a less than glorious position, that is, facing the problem of sin. In fact, the very first words of the first reading hit hard. The prophet Isaiah brings up the two notorious cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's not talking about them. He's addressing those titles to us. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. So it's a very strong way to open his prophecy. This is from the very first chapter of Isaiah. Sodom and Gomorrah were notorious because of their very gross sins. Sensuality, selfishness, corruption. And they refused to be dissuaded from their sin. They were such bad cities that, remember in the story in Genesis, God tried to find at least 10 just people in the city. He said, if there were at least 10, I won't destroy the city. He couldn't find 10. So he had his angels bring Lot and his family out of the city. All the rest were destroyed. Now, the destruction was due to their own sin, because sin is self-destruction. But we're talking about gross sins, obvious sins, repulsive sins. And it's easy for us to identify sins that are obvious and gross. In fact, those are the sins we tend to see even in ourselves. It's one thing to be a little envious. It doesn't bother us that much. But when we burst out in a fit of rage and say nasty words, we know we've done something wrong. Or when we've lied, we know we've lied. When we've stolen something, we know we stole something. Some sins are obvious. Greed, lust, gluttony, anger. These things stand out. And when we fall into them, we know it. In the prophecy, God, speaking through Isaiah, is not simply condemning the sinful people. He's not condemning us. He wants us to see the gravity of our sin so that we will change. This is where the prophecy goes in the second part. It's very encouraging. Come now, let us set things right. Come now, even though you're Sodom, even though your sins are gross and repulsive, they don't have to be like that. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. So no matter how bad they are, with the mercy of God, they can be healed. They can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. We can be transformed. So that's a very hopeful message. When we are alert to our sin, the problem is that some of our worst sins just don't look that bad to us. Yes, if we lose our temper, or if we strike one of our children or something, or we realize that we went over the line, our flesh took over. But when we're full of pride or envy or self-righteousness, it just doesn't look that bad to us. In fact, this is the problem with pride, which is the worst of all the sins. The problem with pride is that it covers for itself. It justifies itself. When we're proud, we think, well, we're better, and we don't need to repent. We're not like Sodom and Gomorrah. Our sins are not scarlet. We're practically white already. That's how it feels when we're proud. That makes it much more difficult to gain the benefit of Lent and of the mercy of God, because we just don't think we need it that much. Well, this is where today's gospel comes in, where Jesus speaks at some length about the problem of the Pharisees. Now, there are many cases where Jesus addresses the Pharisees directly. He challenges them for their hypocrisy very directly. So when he speaks about them, he's not talking behind their back. He's not gossiping about them, saying, look at these Pharisees. Hey, did you hear about the Pharisees? Everyone knew the Pharisees. They were public figures. So it's not gossip to point at known sinful behavior and use it as an example of what not to do. That's not gossip. So here's Jesus. Yes, it's unusual that he's talking about the Pharisees and instead of talking to the Pharisees. That's unusual. But you see what he's doing. He's pointing out their disorder, not in order to gossip about them or to condemn them. He's pointing out the disorder for our sake. It says here, he spoke to the crowds and his disciples. He's teaching. What's the problem? The Pharisees preach, but they do not practice. Now, he's not gossiping. He's not trying to drag them down. In fact, he upholds their authority. He says, do whatever they tell you. They have authority. They're sitting on the chair of Moses. So they have a right to proclaim what must be done and do what they tell you. Do whatever they tell you. But do not follow their example. You see what he's doing. He's giving us an instruction. A warning against hypocrisy, but also against hypocrisy of others, but also a warning against falling into this trap ourselves. Sometimes when church leaders identify flaws in public officials, either in the church or in the government, somebody will say, oh, you have no right to talk. You have no right to talk about other people's sins. You're out of line. Well, not really. When public officials or public church figures have public sins, those sins have to be identified and rejected. So to condemn corruption in the government is not hypocrisy, and it's not gossip. It's simply proclaiming the truth and a call to conversion. Well, that's what Jesus does here. The problem with the Pharisees is that they preach, but they do not practice. Their own lives are bad examples. Now, this is challenging for anybody who's a publicly religious person. I'm the only one wearing tassels here, and Jesus talks about lengthening tassels. But all of us who come to Daily Mass are publicly religious people, and your friends and neighbors and your family members know that you're religious, and they might even criticize you. Oh, you're going to Mass every day, or you're praying all the time. Why aren't you a better person? I'm sure you've heard criticism like that. You think you're so good. What about this? You're doing all these externally holy things, but you're not really living like a holy person. It's quite a challenge. And all of us have face the danger of hypocrisy. In fact, it's much more dangerous for religious people because we do take on what looks like a religious exterior. If it doesn't flow from a change of heart, then it is hypocrisy. That's the challenge. Don't simply do things for other people to see them. Don't, this is what Jesus says, that all their works are performed to be seen. Don't do works so that they're seen. If people see good works and you're doing them for a good reason, well, that's okay. But don't do things just to be seen. Then Jesus goes on to caution against taking on public honors, titles, seats of honor, greetings, and all these things. It can feel great to be recognized and thanked and honored. But don't do things for that. That's not the Christian way. That's not Jesus' way. The greatest among you must be your servant. If you want to be great, serve. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. That's the danger, right? Exalting ourselves. Even if we don't do it in an obvious way, interiorly we exalt ourselves. That's what pride does. That's what pride is. It's self-exaltation. If we do that, we have to be humbled. And God figures out ways to humble us. But when we humble ourselves, when we acknowledge our sins, when we confess we are sinners and our sins are scarlet, then we can be exalted, because then it's God at work and he wants to exalt us. So a good warning for us, not to allow sins which are not obvious and gross, not to allow those sins to corrupt us interiorly and make us into hypocrites. Let's use the season of Lent to humble ourselves, and then let God do the work of exalting us.